Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Welcome in to another edition of the Cubs Talk podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm JJ Stankovic filling in today and joined by Bruce Miles of the Daily Herald. You can read all of Bruce's content in the Daily Herald on dailyherald.com. You can follow him on Twitter at BruceMiles2112. Bruce, we just finished up with the Cubs losing 7-1 to the Pirates on Sunday. They've won five straight series. They're playing much better baseball now. But let's look ahead. The series against Milwaukee coming up this week, three games at Miller Park. After that, then they go three games in St. Louis. It's just June. There still are 100 games left in the season. But is there any added importance on these two series coming up, given the Cubs are half game behind the Brewers? They're 3.5 games ahead of the Cardinals right now?
I think you always want to set a tone no matter what the time of the year is. The Cubs have had pretty good success against the Brewers this year. 7-1 going into that series at Milwaukee, and four games up there early in the season. So I think there's always a tone to be set. It's interesting because the Cubs reached 13 games over 500 on Saturday. They hadn't reached that mark last year until the end of August. Mm-hmm. But it really kind of doesn't feel that way because they haven't hit on all cylinders. Right. The starting pitchers haven't gone deep. The hitters have been inconsistent. The bullpen's been tremendous. But it just hadn't had that feel.
You know, Bruce, I've only covered a couple Cubs games this year, but the first one I covered it was after they lost that series of the Cardinals with the two walk-offs, and it was right before the start of that Miami series, and Theo Epstein comes out and basically says, like, guys, we're not panicking. Like, yeah, we're not playing good baseball right now. We're not hitting on all cylinders, but, like, we got this. Our track record shows we're going to be better. Since that point, they're 21-10, so another 31 games later, they're playing much better baseball. But like you said, they're not hitting on all cylinders. I mean, Joe Maddon mentioned it today. They scored, what, six runs in the series against the Pirates, still took two out of three. There still are a lot of things that can go better, hitting with runners in scoring position, getting starters to go deeper into games, that even though, like you said, they're 7-1 against the Brewers, they've outscored them 29-9, those things are still going to have to go right for them to kind of continue this run of play that they've had and take control of this division.
Of course, and there's some guys searching still. You saw Chris Bryant in the leadoff spot a couple of times in this series against the Pirates. That was Joe's way of trying to spur him a little bit, get him going a little bit, get him up to bat a few more times. And it looked okay, not great. I think Joe wanted to do it again Sunday, but the things presented themselves differently with the lineup. Javier Baez is in a little bit of a funk now at the plate. He hasn't hit well. Rizzo has shown flashes of it, but not quite. But, yeah, this would be the time now to start putting some of those things together. I just think that the big thing is, and Joe said before the game on Sunday, that get the starters going six, seven innings like Lester did the other day, and get more consistency, especially with runners in scoring position. They really have faltered in that area.
I thought it was interesting because the two things that Joe pointed to before the game of we need our starters to go deeper and we need better hits with runners in scoring position, those kind of came to a head on Sunday when he pulled Kyle Hendricks after five innings, put in Tommy La Stella to pinch hit with runners on first and second. At this point, it was still a 1-0 game. La Stella hits into a double play. They give up five runs in the next inning. All of a sudden, the game's over after about six innings. Just your take on that managerial decision there. I know everything can get magnified with this team, one game out of 162, but, I mean, anything to really panic about in terms of that decision?
No, I don't think so, and I think with this team now, with the fan base, it's not 162 games, it's 162 seasons now that they play, and anything like that is really going to be magnified. You know what? the one thing good about covering Joe, and you know this, is that he always gives you an answer, whether you like the answer or not, whether fans agree with the answer or not. He explains it in a logical way, and he said with the Hendricks in about 85 pitches, with some tough hitters coming up the next inning.
Lefties coming up, too.
Lefties coming up. The Cubs have not been scoring some runs, and you have the best, what he called the best pinch hitter in the game coming up. He hit a foul ball hard.
Yeah,
and then kind of the babip gods got him there a little bit, hitting into the double play. That ball goes a foot or two the other way. You're talking about a single. So, as he always says, it didn't work out, but it doesn't mean it was the wrong move. You can second guess that till doomsday, but that's part of the fun of covering and watching sports.
Absolutely, and Kyle Hendricks was fine with it too. He came out and said he understood it. He mentioned he wasn't really comfortable with his mechanics, which I think, you know, they certainly noticed that. And yeah, you're at about 85 pitches. Better to get Dunsing in there to start a clean inning than him trying to clean up from a potential mess created by leaving in Hendricks a little bit longer. So, I mean, yeah, look, in 162 games, there are going to be decisions that are going to be made that are not going to work out. Best laid plans are not going to work out. It's pretty much what happened today. But, I mean, you're right, Bruce, that Joe Maddon gave us a pretty good explanation of what his thinking was. You may not agree with it, you may not like it, but he gave it to you, and that's certainly better than, you know, if, like, John Fox is up here and giving you some sort of answer that wouldn't really resonate very well.
That's what you have to like and appreciate about covering him. And I say, I know the fans get frustrated with us sometimes because Joe always says outcome bias. Just because it didn't work doesn't mean it was the right or wrong decision.
Right.
It just didn't work. So, you know, you have that. He gave it to you. He didn't hide. He didn't get defensive. He didn't say, what kind of question is that? You know, he left it out there for you, and that was the result.
Monday night in Milwaukee, Jose Quintana against Junior Guerra. Jose Quintana this year, 13 innings against the Brewers, hasn't allowed a run, 3 walks, 13 strikeouts. Kind of an uneven year for Quintana, maybe trending in the right direction now. A start against the Brewers seems to be exactly what he needs to kind of continue trending in that direction.
Yeah, given his career, I think it's 6-2 with an 0.63 ERA for his career against the Brewers. Yeah, he's been up and down. He's a competitor, though. Joe says that on game days, he doesn't smile. He's got that serious look going. So, you know, maybe this is the right tonic for him. You really look at the rotation, and Lester's really been the only guy consistent from, you know, the opening gate until right now in the middle of June here. So this might be a good start for Quintana. They're going to throw two lefties at the Brewers with Montgomery to finish the series. So that may bode well for the Cubs throwing left-handed pitchers against the Brewers. And Montgomery is a guy who's showing that he wants to be in that rotation, and you're going to have to really fight to take that job away from him.
Quick anecdote on Jose Quintana pitching against the Brewers. I don't remember his exact numbers, but 2015, he threw, I think it was a complete game against Milwaukee when he stole at the White Sox. And I went up to him after the game, and I was like, that's one of the best starts I've ever seen, because that afternoon his beloved Real Madrid got knocked out of the Champions League. And I don't know how he did it. It was pretty amazing.
Well, you know how it is with passionate soccer, or football as we call it, fans around the world, and that little event called the World Cup is coming up. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of interest from a lot of guys all around baseball with this big tournament over in Russia.
Bruce and I are the only Manchester City fans in Chicago media, so I had to interject soccer in there somehow. Bruce, after the Brewers series, Cubs play the Cardinals. Kind of a weird line, you know, looking at this, they're 1-4 against them this year, but they've only been outscored by 3 runs. Obviously, those walk-offs in St. Louis back-to-back that Farrell gave up, that played into it. But is there maybe more emphasis on the St. Louis series coming up, just given how the Cardinals have kind of tormented the Cubs a little bit this year with those close losses?
You know, I don't think so as of yet. Joe said this morning that I'm thinking about Sunday, then Monday we'll think about Monday. So I don't know if they've looked ahead to that so much, because Milwaukee has really proven to be pretty impressive this year, and it doesn't look like they're going to go away. I think the Cubs will still win this division. They have simply too much talent, and I'm not sure that Milwaukee has enough starting pitching. Their bullpen's been pretty good, but I don't think so. I think they're going to deal with, as Joe said, today's game today, and then they'll look ahead to that. But the Cardinals are trying to stay relevant, they're trying to hang in there. I think the loss of their shortstop, the kid from Antioch, DeJong, has hurt them quite a bit. And, you know, Molina's been out, and other injuries on that team. But I think the Cubs are focused like a laser beam, as we've heard before, on the Brewers right now.
And for the Cubs, too, it just seems like, from my perspective, it's easier for them to take this and really practice this, like, day-to-day narrow micro approach. Because why does this team need to get caught up in the macro? They know they're good. they don't need to look ahead and be like, oh, well, you know, if we don't beat the Brewers and we don't beat the Cardinals, we're in big trouble, because they're not trying to prove themselves. We know that this is a good team. So when they do say, yeah, we're taking it day by day, it's like, well, you actually can back that up. Because if you do take it day by day, you trust that everything else is going to kind of work itself out.
Yeah, Joe
forward.
Talks about the process all the time, and that means coming in here, getting your work done, approaching each day. You win hard, you lose hard for 30 minutes, as Joe says, after the game, mm-hmm. and you move on. But like you said, they have experience. Three straight years with a lot of the same guys going to the National League Championship Series, winning one World Series, and I think you had John Lester stated pretty well after Saturday's game. He said, this is starting to feel like 2016 again, mm-hmm. with the way the defense is playing and with the way the team is rolling a little bit. And that should be scary for some of these other teams in the division because, as you mentioned, this team knows how to win.
And like you mentioned, they haven't hit on all cylinders yet. So if it's starting to remind some guys of 2016 instead of 2017, and you don't have the offense clicking of Chris Bryant not hitting a home run in 21 games or something like that, that is even more scary for the rest of the division and the rest of the league.
Well, it should be, because like I said earlier in the podcast here, it just hasn't felt like the Cubs are 12 or 13 mm-hmm. games over 500. It's always been that kind of a struggle, and are they ever going to get on a roll and get over that hump? Well, they've kind of quietly done that lately, and like you said, if they do put things all together, you know, they could be in for one of those scary runs where they go, you know, 22-8 or 23-9, something like that.
Doesn't feel like the Cubs are 12 games over 500. Didn't feel like summer today. 59 degrees, and you could barely see the scoreboard. It was so foggy.
April.
Isn't it great living in Chicago?
April last 2.5 months here, JJ. I think we had a couple of hints of summer over the Memorial Day weekend here with the Giants here, and then it went away. And you know, you take those press box windows out, and us poor media guys get cold.
I had 3 cups of hot tea today. I'm not a tea drinker at all.
In the middle of June, how about that?
What a difficult job we live in. Just
we wouldn't be doing anything else, though, would we?
Yeah, wouldn't be doing anything else. At least we don't work in a you know, coal mine or something. Could be worse.
It could.
Anyways, that's going to do it for us here on the Cubs Talk podcast. Remember, you can read all of Bruce's Cubs coverage in the Daily Herald on dailyherald.com and follow him on Twitter at BruceMiles2112. Bruce, thank you again for joining us. And that'll do it for us here on the Cubs Talk podcast on NBC Sports Chicago.